Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sis Internet Radio. Sisters in Spirit, affectionately called Sis, is a nurturing environment for women that inspires harmony in everyday living, shares resources that empower, offers information and support that nourishes the soul, balances our mental and physical well-being, and promotes inner peace and heightened spirituality. Our vision is a world where women live consciously, harmoniously, and spiritually to positively impact our lives and the lives of those with whom we come into contact. Join us as we live life with style, grace, and of course, much joy.
Good evening and welcome to your Sisters in Spirit broadcast for Thursday, May 22nd, 2014. You're here with your host. I'm Skye, and we're here with Darlene as well. Welcome, Darlene. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, Deborah. How are you today?
I'm awesome. Thank you. This evening, we're going to be talking about what is your emotional kryptonite and how to deal with it. And emotional kryptonite is going to be that thing, that person, that issue, that thorn is in your side that really takes you through an emotional roller coaster. And Darlene, I'm going to give you a little bit more information about Darlene for those of you who do not know, because she's our featured guest this evening. Darlene Nazaire has made empowerment of others her life mission. She's the founder of Sisters in Spirit, as you know, and she's also the co-founder of the Young Tiger Foundation that addresses the tragedy of suicide in young black males and the trauma experienced by the surviving family and friends. She's the author, and she's the author of Leaping Over the Hurdles of Life, A Tiger's Journey, which is a biography of her only child's life and her first publication. Darlene holds a B.S. in Business Administration from St. Paul's College, an M.S. in Project Management from Boston University, and a Project Management Professional PMP. Darlene is also a mental health advocate and coach. And again, welcome, Darlene. I'm really excited about this conversation because all of us can relate to this.
Definitely. And I'm excited as well. As you know, Deborah, we've talked about this. It's Mental Health Month. May is Mental Health Month. And each year we look to do something at Sisters in Spirit because we're all about infusing harmony into our everyday living, and mental health is one aspect of it. And peace of mind is definitely our inalienable birthright. It's the true inalienable birthright.
Mm-hmm.
Literally the most important thing that we have, because we can be in any situation and approach it from a space of equilibrium if our energy is open to something new or the next higher vibration, if we're looking for that to appear. Because when we hold on to thoughts of distress, we get more distress.
Yes.
That's universal law, because thoughts reproduce after their own kind.
That's right. And balance and peace of mind is really our true state.
Yes. Yeah. So I really wanted to start with, you know, we use the analogy of emotional kryptonite. So I wanted to start with, we are all superwomen and supermen. And like a superhero, we have those small things that render us ineffective and keep us from performing our mission in life. So for Superman, it's kryptonite. For me and you, that kryptonite is some feeling or emotion that affects us deeply and triggers some form of fear or inadequacy.
Mm-hmm.
And, inadequacy is actually a form of fear. So it's fear that we somehow can't be the super being created in the likeness and image of sorts. Then the fear triggers emotions, which are literally energy emotions. They're energy packets of information for us to do something with rather than to become stagnant or stuck in a feeling, anxiety, fear, stress, et cetera, which leads to blockages and a repeat of the exact same energy or message to our brains in a do loop, so that every time our personal kryptonite shows up on the scene, we react in the same way.
Right. And when we don't know how to deal with that emotional pain or emotional distress, that leads to suffering.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So we want to figure out, okay, what are our green rocks, the kryptonite that robs us of the power and drains our ability to be ineffective, our ability to be effective, rather. And I really thought it was ironic that kryptonite is a green crystal, and green represents the heart chakra. So what gets to our heart, what gets mm-hmm. to our feelings and emotions, that's what our emotional kryptonite is. And
that's true, because, I mean, if it doesn't touch your heart, then it really has no effect on you.
Right.
But that is that chakra, really. Right. Although you can experience, you know, the pain in different parts of the body, but basically it's those things that really touch you to your core, to your heart. And that's a great analogy, you know, using that that kryptonite and relating it to the chakra, how it affects our chakra.
And it's always a noun. It's a person, a place, or a thing. And as I mentioned in the announcement, a secret, because secrets have really strong power over us.
Yes.
It triggers our five senses. So it's stimulating one of the five material senses, sight, smell, touch, sound, and taste, that's birthed out of our thoughts and beliefs that something that happened in the past still has the power to threaten us.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one trigger was people. And, you know, and as women, our number one trigger tends to be men, right? So have you ever been in a relationship where the significant other makes you feel insecure or insignificant, yet you swear that there's a love thing going on?
Believe me, yes.
Me too. That person is definitely emotional kryptonite.
Yes.
If loving them feels wrong, then maybe we should stop. So that's a signal there that we should be stopping to do something else. But we can't, because there's something wired in our brain that makes the situation very familiar, and the brain goes for the shortcut. And the familiar is always the shortcut.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, so triggers are all about the five senses. So let's just kind of go through five senses and give some examples. So for sight, you see someone or something who resembles a person or an object who caused you distress, or who is in the location of the place of distress. So for me, I was in a car accident, and the last thing that I saw was a brown fence, like a slat fence.
Mm-hmm.
If I see a brown slat fence, at first it didn't occur to me that like there was something going on there every time I saw one, but it's subconscious. You don't even know that it's going on in the back.
Right.
But there's a program that starts to run when you experience that sense that triggered some sort of trauma.
Mm-hmm. You know, that relates back to breaking the habit of being yourself, the book that we read.
Exactly.
No, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And if it's a sound, it could be someone's voice, right, someone from your childhood. And this sense could even come from a past life. You don't even know that it's there in the background. It could be something that has been continuing throughout the generations. So it's up to us to take the time and examine it,
mm-hmm.
deal with it in the now, so that it's not something that moves forward in energy through the future.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a voice. It could be like a church bell. If the kryptonite resulted from anger or any sound around the emotion of anger, like raised voices, bullying, crying, whispering, screaming, all of those become triggers immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sound that, whatever the sound is that led up to the crisis, mm-hmm. like the screeching of a car wheels or a door slamming, like say, you know, your father walked out when you were three, and when he left, he slammed the door and you never saw him again.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you hear a door slamming, it's going to cause a trigger, and you may not know why, but you may feel anxious, you may feel abandoned, you have all sorts of emotions that may come up as a result of a sound. The same with smells, right? If the smell resembles the smell of the place or the person who caused the distress from the past,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's food cooking, you know, it works both ways, of course, right? Because your grandmother's favorite recipe that you love so much is going to have a positive effect. But the food that was cooking when you fell in the kitchen and hurt yourself, then that's going to have a negative effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it could be someone's perfume, or it could be alcohol, or whatever the case may be. The same for a touch. Like if somebody's standing too close to you or touches a specific body part. Again, I have an example on the body part. I was choked once. And so when someone touches my throat, I immediately have a negative reaction. Not that I think that they're going to choke me,
right,
but because of the memory that it kicks in for my brain.
Just, yeah, the sensitivity. Is
right, yeah. Right. So the underlying circumstance may be repressed memory, but you have no idea why it's going on. It becomes a survival reflex, so we're naturally going to avoid the situation or the feeling from happening again.
Mm-hmm.
So the brain is scanning, always scanning the environment for danger out there to avoid any kind of repetition of the threat or the unpleasant feeling. And it doesn't even have to be a real one. It could just be perceived.
Perceived, yes.
Right.
So what's really unfortunate in this, because, you know, I'm relating and thinking about this as we go on in our discussion, those things that you're not consciously aware of, you know, little things that your subconscious embedded into itself that happen that you don't know.
Right.
And so often we go through life reacting to these things, these situations or these triggers, and we don't know what they are. And so that's why it's really important for us to have this the meditation time,
yeah,
quiet time, the reflection time, because through that time, that's when we – our revelations occur, you know, when we can sift through things. The teachings that we got through Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, you know, and all of the books and things that we've been reading. But it's very important to be, you know, still so that you can and you know that this is happening to you, but like you said earlier, you're not even conscious of it. So it's important for us to really take that time so that we can heal ourselves and really reflect on triggers. I know for the life of me, I've been trying to figure out why I'm deathly afraid of water. Aside from being an African American and, you know, the Middle Passage and all of that, I think it's something else other than that. You know, I kind of also attribute it to being an air sign. Now, I'll jump out of an airplane, but I'm not going to jump into a swimming pool. So it's just, you know, there's something there that I'm not really aware of.
Right.
So those kind of, you know, things, and I it has been on my mind. I did take swimming lessons. I wouldn't go any deeper than, I would not let the water get above my head, because my thought was if I panic, I could always put my feet down and my head would be above water. But I don't know if I drowned in a past life or what, but that's something that's been on my mind, and I'm still trying to sort through that. So, you know, I'm sure many of us can relate to that and have, you know, these little triggers or this emotional kryptonite that we're still trying to sort through. And meditation and being still and being contemplative kind of helps us, you know, hopefully will help us come to some conclusions as to why these things are triggers in our life.
Yeah, and so we'll get to that later when we talk about what to do about it.
Okay.
But I think that, these things come up, and if we don't look at them, we're causing ourselves more harm than if we do.
Yeah.
So what we want to do with kryptonite is take it like Superman and put it in a lead box and keep it from contaminating us. But rather the thing to do, as you said, is to take the time to look at it, examine it. And you can ask your higher self. You can work with a pendulum. You can work with a medium or even a psychotherapist to help you figure out what those issues might be.
Mm-hmm.
And my dog is chewing on his toy, so you hear squeaking in the background. That's what it is.
Okay. Did we finish the different senses?
Pardon me?
You were going over the different senses.
Yeah, so we talked about the senses, and ironically, I think the greatest strengths are built out of what we want to avoid, what we consider our emotional kryptonite. So our strengths are patterns of thinking and feelings or behaving that grew out of these flaws or even flaws in our environment. So, for example, if you were neglected as a child, you may have learned to be resourceful And at the other end of the spectrum, if you were an abused child, you would develop split personalities to disassociate from the person, that child who was being harmed.
Right.
So emotional kryptonite causes us to react rashly out of judgment, anger, self-pity, and some examples of emotional issues that act as kryptonite. And their reactions might be, for example, if you always feel the need that you have to be respected,
mm-hmm.
then you have issues with respect. And anytime somebody you perceive that they disrespect you, then you'll react maybe with anger that is not proportionate to the situation.
Right, yes.
So the same thing is if you feel that people don't understand you and you have the need to be understood, that might cause you to be even more critical of other people. Or, let's see, control. You want to always be in control because at some point in your life you felt you never had control. So you actually act that out in being overpowering to other people. And, you know, being just a little too much, you require consistency in your life and everything to be in order. So that would be your kryptonite. Or if you have the need to be valued or treated fairly, came out of something that occurred. And so whenever someone treats you in a manner where you don't think it's fair, you react disproportionately.
I feel like I need to go lay on somebody's couch.
And, you know, it's so many little things. You know, you might have the need to be loved or liked, and so as a result, you're doing things to please people all the time. And if somebody doesn't like you after you've done all of that, again, you know, it presses your buttons. Mm-hmm. And people learn what those buttons are, and they learn how to press them.
Yes.
And I think, you know, people try to control you out of fear. A lot of things that people do are done out of fear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're talking about fear, and the other side of that, or along with that, comes the ego. And I guess the ego plays a major role in all of this acting out, you know, all of this coming out into our manifesting itself. Would you say that? Or,
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. The ego has a huge role in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to think about, okay, are you dealing with some sort of outward referral based on what other people are thinking, or is it self-referral based on who you truly are?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. There's a direct link there between our inner perception and it underlies all of our thoughts and emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, that leads back to the ego, who we think we are, or who this persona that we've developed in our lifetime, that may not really be, you know, our true self, and in a lot of instances, is not.
Yeah, but it's generally not our true self.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to the fear of being who we truly are.
Mm.
You know, even Superman had a fear of being who he truly was because he didn't want to expose himself as being a being, a super being from another planet. He always had to be within the constraints of what people might think, how they might ostracize him.
Yeah.
So we do the same thing in our everyday lives. We don't always act out who we truly are and be the super beings that we are because we're worried that other people might feel uncomfortable, which takes us back to that quote that we love so much from Marianne Williamson. And, Sky, I know you've quoted it enough, you probably know it.
Yes, I do. I don't know it by heart, but our greatest fear, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see if I can find it before the end of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And that is so true. That's why I love that poem. Because that our greatest fear, you know, is that we will be more powerful than we could even conceive of and more great. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So our triggers actually, what I was just speaking to, tell us where we need healing. And so now we know where to focus on. So if someone saying something about you, which could really have no relevance is something that triggers anger or fear, anxiety, whatever the emotion might be, judgment, pity, abandonment, then you know that's the area where you need to look. And we really do benefit by examining them. And you might find that any of these emotional kryptonite types that were mentioned might apply to you. It could be more than one, but at the same time, you do want to address them, but you don't want to address them all at the same time because then you'll be putting your brain on overload and you need to take them one at a time.
So I guess you would take the one that brings you the greatest discomfort or that you have the most powerful reaction to.
Maybe. You might not be ready. And again, that's where you have the opportunity to talk to your inner self and say, okay, am I ready to deal with this issue? Or, you know, do I need to just take it in steps?
Mm-hmm.
And you might want to go the other direction and start with the one that's easiest for you to deal with, the low-hanging fruit,
okay,
so that you can work with that, get that out of the way, and move on to the next one, and you're moving up the ladder of your evolution.
Yeah, that makes sense, definitely.
And again, I mean, these are going to be issues that you've dealt with over a lifetime, so you can't expect them to just go away because you started working on it in one day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and it's going to be some discomfort, too, as you deal with them.
Yes.
No, definitely it's going to be some discomfort, so, you know, we can prepare ourselves for that. And a lifetime of habits is, or a lifetime of any type of situation is not going to disappear necessarily overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It could, but most of the time it's not.
Yeah. And we have a caller who has a question or a comment. Caller 8511. I'm trying to get you on the line. Okay, you're on the line.
Good. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Good, thank
Welcome.
You.
Welcome.
Sorry, I was a few minutes late, but this is really awesome. I caught you guys have answered so many questions in just a few minutes I've been listening. I'm reading a book by called The Magic. Y'all might be familiar with it, by Rhonda Byrne. She was one of the girls that helped with The Secret.
Mm-hmm.
And this book talks about gratitude. And so it was an exercise that I had to do. I'm probably in chapter 20 or something, where it says to think about three people in your life that you are most grateful for, the three people that you are most grateful for. I said my mother, I said Doc, and I said my husband. And then I started saying, once you think of the three people, then you have to think back and just think about what you're grateful for these people. What did they do to you in your life that made you, you know, really grateful? And it was probably about 4 or 5 o'clock I was reading. And I was started thinking about my mother, and I'm telling you, I could not get past my mother. For hours, I was just reminiscing on so many things that happened in my childhood, and it just brought back, like what y'all saying, it just opened up so much kryptonite. Like, I didn't realize a lot of important things that was in my life. I didn't realize really where it had stemmed from, but most of it had stemmed from my childhood. Later on that night, around 7, I went to a Kundalini yoga class, and I knew that would really help me because, I mean, literally, I was crying. Tears were, like, coming every time I thought about it or tried to, you know, like, think past it. I would just cry thinking about, you know, my childhood and just some of the experiences. And, I was pinpointing where a lot of these emotions, the good and the bad, had come from.
Mm-hmm.
So after the class lasted about an hour and a half. So after the class, I really, really felt a lot. And it happened to be this particular night, a detoxification class. So it was a lot of movements. And so it really, really made me feel good. But I felt so regenerated just thinking about my mom's and thinking about my childhood and some of those initial experiences. Because one of y'all just said it, that this stuff is a lifetime. You know, it is a lifetime. So these issues that we're dealing with, when you really think back, it's probably started right in your mom's, right in your household with your parents. So thank
they
you.
Couldn't
this
start it in the womb.
Yeah.
Or a past life. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you all. I was wondering what the show was going to be about, but this is very, very helpful. It's something, and like you say, we have to a lot of times we don't take the time to seek help and to, you know, like, you know, breaking the habit of being yourself really taught us that these are stains. These are stains in your memory that's there, and until you deal with them, every time you have these experiences, these same, you know, old habits are going to continue to pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. The same programs are going to continue to reproduce themselves, as I said, in a do loop. It's when something happens, because that's the way the brain was trained, and you have that muscle, like a muscle memory, the brain has memory.
Right.
It just plays out the program. Boom. And here's the program. And until you reprogram it, that's what you're going to get.
Mm.
And you don't know, if you don't know what the programming is, how do you control it? How do you change it? Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
So this is all about being aware of who you are, and sometimes it's called emotional intelligence. And then we, of course, we at SIS always take it to another level and put the spirituality behind it so that you can infuse harmony into your everyday living.
Right.
That's right. It's about being in balance. And this is something that is definitely has us off balance.
Yeah. So we talked about the issues, and so we have to talk about the helpful steps as well. The first step we've been mentioning.
I'm going to click also our convention.
Okay.
All right, thank
Be
you.
Self-aware. Learn your triggers. So if every time someone who looks like your mom walks in the room and you get irritated, then you need to know that someone who is, say, 5'8", like your mom, and the same shape and build, who might walk like her, that's going to be a trigger for you. If that trigger is one that is negative, then if you want to say, okay, every time I see that, then I will not allow it to trigger me. So first step is be aware. And even if you can't catch the trigger, you can learn to recognize the feeling that follows the trigger. So now, okay, you didn't see it happen. You're not even really aware of why it happened, but you know how you feel. So now I feel anxious. Now I feel sad. Now I'm angry. I'm just plain mad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that you're going to recognize. So you recognize that it's just a feeling that you can move through in time. Right? When it first starts happening, you first start to see it, you're not going to be able to do much about it. But as you begin to be self-aware and to catch that trigger, you can begin to say, okay, here it comes. And so now you want to take the next step, which is to allow yourself to have the experience. So if it brings up stress, let the stress come up, but watch the stress and not flow with it and get attached to the stress. Because our first instinct is going to be to stifle that unwanted emotion. Yes, we can choose how to respond, and it doesn't have to be any threat in the feeling. We can just observe it. We can say to ourselves, I feel happy, or I feel sad, I feel angry, I feel anxious, I feel depressed, whatever the case may be, just it is what it is, and let it be. But don't wallow in it. So now you want to take that and move to the next higher vibration of energy, and you can do that by having compassion for yourself or the person or the situation that's occurring, right? So we know that something happened to trigger this, and so you start investigating, okay, what's the real issue? And as I mentioned, you can ask yourself, what's the cause, and if you're ready to heal. And Sky, as you mentioned earlier with your question, you may not be ready or able to heal that specific flaw or trigger. You can start peeling back the onion, but you
right.
need to be fully ready to deal with it.
And that's true. And if you're not, then you're not going to go there. But like you said, the main thing is to recognize it and to allow it, experience it, and then, you know, just take steps, take baby steps.
Yeah. Everyone has issues. So you have to have the emotional intelligence to say, this is something that I could deal with now. This is something that I need to take baby steps towards. And I will work on it because it is work.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take effort and energy. There's a lot of energy in healing. So a next step would be after you have recognized it and had the compassion for yourself and the other person who caused the trigger, to actually pause and say, this is an opportunity for me to change. And as they said in Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, the key is to actually say change, change, change.
Yes.
So now you want to rewire your brain for a new reaction, put in that new program, which takes practice, so you have to be patient. It really is like muscle memory because the kryptonite is embedded, mm-hmm. and it's now automatic, so now we have to unlearn it.
Yes. Ooh, I'm getting tired thinking about that.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to benefit from it, right?
You benefit for it and from it. And with and 2013 is a prime example, a personal example for me, because I went through some pretty traumatic situation in my life, and I had to go through these steps. And so, you know, with us talking about it and you going through a lot of those steps, I'm like, wow, that's a lot, because I'm remembering, you know, it took me a long time to go through some of those steps. So it can be, you know, but the good thing about it is once you get to the other end, the joy that you feel.
Right.
You leave. So, let's just continue on with the steps.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the next step, this is the sixth step, and I'll run through the steps again, is to counterbalance, right? So we all have our strengths. What's your strength? So if you were Popeye, who is a very human superhero, mm-hmm. right, he has all the human attributes, yet he is strong when he eats his spinach. So spinach is his strength. So what's your spinach? How do you allow the energy of the Superman or Superwoman you are to flow through? What do you need to do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's different for everybody, right? For some of us, it might be dancing. We get energy through dance. Some of us, it's prayer. And for others, it might be...
It could be singing.
Right. Whatever it is that makes you feel alive, then that's your energy.
Mm-hmm. And then there are the across-the-board things of health, you know, the exercise. Well, the balanced diet, those are across-the-board.
Right.
But we need to pay attention to that as well, you know, especially when we're in these, you know, kryptonite states and we're seeking healing. We should do it always, but particularly at these times, because we tend to neglect ourselves when we're going through something. So the across-the-board things that we need to keep an eye on is our health, the rest, the diet, the healthy diet, the exercise, those same things, you know, we need to keep our eye on.
Mm-hmm. And so our natural reaction is to, as you said, lean towards imbalance. We'll start eating more of the wrong foods, drinking alcohol, acting out, doing risky things, risky behavior.
Yes.
When instead, so those are the external things. Instead, we can internalize and do things like meditation so that we can reflect, visualization, breathing techniques, all things that bring us back into balance
mm-hmm.
quickly. Breathing is going to bring you back into balance, right? And simple breathing exercises like just taking 5 minutes to concentrate on your breath. So you feel the trigger, you're feeling anxious. If you can step away from the situation to do the breathing, that's ideal. But if you can't, you can do like my mother used to do when we were little. She used to just count to 10 backwards. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes, that's right.
So she wouldn't kill us. So breathing, as I said, focusing on your breath. So this the in-breath, when you get the inspiration, where you're inhaling the Holy Spirit, bringing the source energy into your being, and then the exhale is where you're releasing whatever the issue is. So you can make it very conscious. I'm inhaling peace, and I'm exhaling stress. And then you just do that with deep breaths. You're breathing down into your diaphragm. And so that movement alone helps your vagus nerve, which your vagus nerve goes from your gut all the way up to your brain, and it is the seat of intuition. And so when you're allowing that breath to go all the way down and back up, you're creating a flow of positive energy where you can be easily connect with the all. Then there's lots of breathing methods. So that's one. Another for balance is holding your index finger over your nostril, starting with your right nostril, breathing the left nostril, hold it, and then breathe out the right nostril, and then you alternate that and do the opposite. That creates balance and equilibrium in the brain. And that's what you want to do so that you can get yourself into a right state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Visualization, you know, something crazy is going on out there. You can actually just take the time to see something that it is that you would like to see positively come out of that. And you can use telepathy and send thoughts to people, you know, as well.
Yes, definitely.
Very powerful. So we wanted to engage the audience to have them tell us what their kryptonite might be and how they deal with this. So any comments from the audience?
I'll share while everyone's trying to make up their mind if they're going to share with us or not. We invite you to do so. Okay. Oh, no, we do have a caller here. Okay, we're going to bring our caller back on. 8511, you're on the line.
Okay, thank you. I know with me, and it's always been in my life, I'm emotional. And I can be, you know, I have to really stop and, you know, take those deep breaths to control that emotion. And it's funny that you mentioned about the breathing, because when I went to that Kundalini class, one of the things that, and that was my first time actually at that type of meditation class, one of the things we did is we took very long inhales and then even longer exhales.
Right.
It was so awesome. And when I left it, I really felt, it was a detoxification course, and we would do rocking, you know, for our solar plexus all the way up, and you know, head moves, and it was just really, really, not only did I feel detoxed physically, I felt detoxed mentally. And so with that time that I thought about my mom's, I want to say this, though, 90% of the things that I was thinking about with my mother were positive things. And it was just reminding me of experiences that I had in my childhood, which has, you know, made me, and a lot of times I thought that some of the things that I was doing was from recent years or, you know, 20, 30 years, but, mm-hmm. you know, most of what I learned and things that I had to be grateful for, I learned right from my mother and in my mother's household. And so it made me reflect to that. So, you know, most of my experience with her was very positive because, you know, the best she could do with what she had, and it, you know, and again, I was practicing gratefulness, and so I had to really back and be grateful and say to her, you know, I might not have understood it then, but I had a lot of things to be grateful for from the experiences that I had with her. And so, again, me being a very emotional person, I, you know, over the years I've had to learn, even now, I have to know when not to talk. You know, you don't always have to be the one that talk in meetings, you know, kind of just like lay back and let other people talk, and you learn a lot. Sit in the back of the room sometimes and just watch what's going on up front. And so that's what I've, you know, over the years have learned to do, and it has helped me. So it was emotion, and that was my kryptonite, and still is, so I still have to be always conscious of that.
Yeah, and the need to talk could have come out of the feeling of not being listened to in the past. So, mm-hmm. you know, just something to examine and think about.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons why the breathing exercises is so powerful is because you're bringing more oxygen into your body, and oxygen is an energizer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, 20% of the oxygen that's taken into the body goes to the brain. So the brain needs all this oxygen for food, and that's definitely food for thought. And it then takes this energy to send information to every other part of your body. As a result, if the brain is not getting enough oxygen, then the entire body is affected. So I like to use the analogy of a balloon. So if a balloon doesn't have a lot of air in it and it's limp, it's not going to perform well. So if that was you as a person, you'd have poor memory, poor equilibrium, bad posture, a bad attitude, lack of clarity. We can go on and on and on, and I think you get the picture, right?
Right, definitely.
Yeah, so you can improve that with a couple of easy fixes, and one is to stand erect with your belly button pulled in and the sternum and head lifted high. If you do yoga, you can think about yoga mountain pose, and that allows the oxygen to circulate freely. Or, as Deborah, I think, mentioned, you can exercise enough to increase your heart rate and your breathing rate. Do that on a regular basis, and that oxygen is flowing through your body freely.
Right.
And one of the best things to do is take the time to breathe in and out deeply with that real concentrated focus. Do it for like 5 to 10 minutes. All those things are free. They're simple. They're effective. And they all help you be your best self.
Right. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you for sharing. I know there are a couple of triggers that I have. One of them, and I've really kind of noticed this, and I've kind of like let it go over the years, but one of the worst triggers I had was people that didn't take responsibilities for themselves.
Mm.
And I'm saying this in a position where, say, if something went wrong and someone came to the person and they said, well, Deborah said this, or, you know, they wouldn't say, well, you know, I thought it would be best to do it this way. Not taking responsibility for themselves, and that used to irk me to no end. And I started thinking about that. I never really gave it, like, real serious conscious thought. I thought about it from the point of, why do I allow this to irk me so bad or to get on my nerves so bad? And I just started letting it go. To think about it a little bit deeper, it might be because I was the oldest child and I had to take responsibility from a young age for stuff that I wasn't even responsible for in terms of my younger siblings. So that might have come through there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the things that I was able to just, like, really let go because I was tired of those people getting on my nerves.
Tired of being tired.
Yeah, you know, sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I kind of, like, let that go. In terms of the way that it used to irk me, but it used to, oh, they used to work my nerves so bad. I mean, really. And, you know, like I said, just to look at it, it might have come from that, but that was one of those not real, real serious, deeply rooted things that I was able to let go. So while now it might bother me a little bit, but it does not hit me to my core like it used to.
Yeah, and again, it's important to really see that triggers are positive. They provide a guide to you of the areas that you need to look at, and they give you direction on what to do to help yourself. So we should be grateful for the signals that the mind and the body send us.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, listen and recalibrate accordingly.
Right. Yeah, I think one of the things that has helped me with some of the, with like, some of the more major things that I've gone through in 2013 was not holding on to blame. You know, when I really decided to take responsibility for my own feelings, or I don't know if I should say the role that I played in it or my reaction, that immediately helped me release a lot of the emotional aspects or the emotion in terms of the way I was dealing with the situations. So I think taking responsibility for your feelings, you know, kind of help you too along the way, you know, instead of placing the responsibility for how you feel on someone else. You know, you talked about honoring the experience, you know, recognizing the experience and living with it. Do that and then take responsibility for the experience.
Yeah, So just to go over those seven steps again, the first is to be self-aware and learn your triggers. The second is to recognize that it's a feeling that you can move through in time. And the third, allow yourself to have the experience and not stifle the emotion. Four, have compassion for yourself and or the person or situation causing the feeling. There's something that's lying deeper behind it. Five, pause. In the pause is the opportunity to rewire your brain for a new reaction. And getting to the pause does take practice, so be patient. And then counterbalance. What's your strength? And the seventh is meditation. You know, use those techniques that will bring you back to yourself. Meditation, visualization, deep breathing are just some of those techniques.
And releasing, too, and I guess that will come with the deep breathing. Well, you did say, you know, as you breathe, as you exhale, to release it. You know, it's, you can go through all of these steps, but you also have to release as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And don't be hard on yourself.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
The compassion part of it. Don't be hard on yourself.
Yeah, that's a major one because I know I sometimes punish myself for things that I might do and, you know, that's not to my best interest or for my reaction to certain situations. I'll punish myself, and that's counterproductive.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we think that we should be further along, but we're peeling back the onion. So maybe we are far along in some areas, but then there are going to be other triggers that might seem really minor to someone else, but they're really big deals to us. So, again, those are the things that we need to work with on and have patience.
Yeah, that's a really good one because now when I think back, I was really, really hard on myself and my reactions to certain things, and that's not a good place to be.
Not at all. So I wanted to take some time today to talk about the event that we just had, and Sky, if you would just get into some of that for us for a couple of minutes. But before we do that, let's close out this session and do the quote on the topic and then shift over to some of the things that Sisters in Spirit is into.
Okay.
Okay, so do you have a quote?
Yeah, I did. I found our deepest fear.
Okay, great.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us. It is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Fantastic. Something to definitely contemplate on. And my quote is, if you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it. And this you have the power to revoke at any moment. It's Marcus Aurelius. And Zita, if you're still on the line, would you like to add something?
I would. Excuse me. I have a quote that I heard Bishop T.D. Jakes say this week, and it's really sticking with me. He was speaking about a giraffe and a turtle, and he said the giraffe, when the turtle is critical, the giraffe is, because the giraffe is from a higher point, literally has a 25-pound heart, and so that it can stay high and eat from the top of the tree, whereas the turtle eat from the ground. So when the turtle is critical, the giraffe needs to look at the turtle and say, you're looking at it from your standpoint, not mine.
Right. Good. Very good. Like that. And that definitely goes to self-referral versus external referral.
Mm-hmm.
Standing strong in the truth of who you are as a reflection of the Creator. It's only good. It's all good.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining us and having that discussion.
Thank you for inviting me. I really enjoyed this.
Okay, yes. Let's talk about on Saturday we held a small business development workshop here in Washington, D.C., and it was an amazing event, I must say. We had Sherelle T. Martin come on, and she shared with us how to shift our businesses and our mental capacity from just sitting and surviving to thriving. She talked about how what causes us to be stuck. And then she gave us some pointers as to how to, you know, start moving forward, how to motivate yourself, how to move your business forward. We also heard from Consuela McCain, who is director of the Women's Business Center here in Washington. And she talked to us about the awesome resources that are available to women here in the area. And they also told us that there are women's business centers throughout the country. If you're not in the D.C. area, you know, just Google and find out where your center is, because they offer some awesome resources, all the way from volunteering, coaching, counseling, and they also offer financial resources in the realm of financing. They don't offer grants, but in the realm of financing. So it's like a one-stop shop for women business owners, and I would encourage everybody to check out the Women's Business Center in your area. And we also talked with Nick Rajpara. He was also a presenter, and he's from the Small Business Development Center here in Washington. He talked a lot about what the SBA offers, their resources. They offer so much, and they're kind of like the parent. They contribute, and they kind of fund these other district offices. And it's just so much out there and available to small business owners. So that's why we wanted to bring these resources together so that we could learn about them and utilize them, because our tax dollars really pay for these resources to be made available to us. So we need to know what they are and access them. The SBA, the Women's Business Center, well, the SBA in particular, they offer low-cost training sessions all the time, and they're all over the country. And it's just a major tool for small business people. The business women who were in attendance were awesome. They came. They had their businesses, their business cards. Some of them brought samples of their products. They talked about their services. Everybody had their elevator speech together on time, just really timely. They were together. Everybody asked questions. The main focus of this resource, of this workshop, was to give our business owners what they needed, and everyone just responded that they did get that. They asked questions. You know, they made comments. The speaker stayed around the entire time, and it was just really an awesome event. So I'm just very pleased. Our feedback results were exceptional for survey.
And, you know, one of the other surprising things was they mentioned the companies who had gotten assistance from the SBA.
Yes.
Which include huge entities like, was it Google, Chobani?
Yes. All very familiar names started with SBA assistance.
So you can do it, too. We can do it, too.
That's right.
It's our tax dollars, as you said, Scott.
Yeah. So just thank you to everybody that participated. Darlene was able to come and participate. Thank you for being there. I think I'm still getting comments from the business women. And as we always do, we create a directory. We're going to have that up on our website that's currently being redesigned. So, you know, those new business women will be added to the network. And we're just really excited and happy that everything came together so well.
Yeah. And if you like the information that you hear at SIS on SIS Empowerment Radio or at our site at fluidmagazine.com or on this sistersinspirit.net site, please tell others. Sharing is caring. Share the information. And with that, we'll close out our show for this evening. And I could mention also that our next show is going to be with Monica, who is a yoga instructor, and she will talk to us about the power of meditation, and the topic is go within or go without. And that would piggyback really nicely on the discussion that we've been having tonight.
Yes.
So thank you all for joining, and have a good night. Until the next time, we invite you to infuse harmony into your everyday living.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to This Internet Radio. Until the next time, enjoy the fluid flow of life by remembering to infuse harmony into your everyday living.